Welcome to the broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Apostle Anthony J. Patterson is the Bishop and General Overseer. This is the church that is called by the name of God, the church that walks in God's perfect law, and we follow the faith that was delivered to saints. We invite you to contact us for information or questions you may have concerning salvation and the Apostolic Faith. Let us know how the broadcast reception is in your area. Email us at info@theapostolicfaith.org.
Calendar of events. 82nd National Convention, August 24th through September 4th, 2017, 3700 Call Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210.
Thank you. disappointment come along this road of life. And when my heart is contrite, I take it to Jesus Christ. His name alone surely does abide, for this is the life, the life, this is the life that counts for Christ, that counts for Christ. Sometimes I cry, for all the joys of life seem to pass me by. Despondency and misery beckons me on every side. And when my heart is pierced by the miseries of life, Jesus Christ comes along and he makes everything all right. Oh, dear.
Well, we thank God Almighty for this wonderful day that he has made. And it calls all of us to walk in the way of truth today. This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. It is the faith of the apostles, and it is the truth of the gospel that have been given to all men to worship God in spirit and in truth. We all been given this breath of life to do good. Even when the opportunity comes and it is dreadful and your enemy comes to you, we have to be like Christ and say, "Friend, art thou come?" This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it gives me great honor to say I'm from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have anything in front of it or in it or around it that makes it confused with something else or any other worship place, but it is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The opportunity to come into your homes and your cars and your wherever you are now that things are mobile, we're glad to be heard by your ears and hopefully believed by your heart that this is the truth of the gospel that is being preached. There are many things out there that appears to be right to men, but the way of that is death. And everybody is trying to stay away from death. You have huge hospitals that are trying to save folks from death. We got soothsayers and all kind of people conjuring up things to keep folks away from death. But death is going to meet us all. And when it does, I want you to have answered the question, "I'm going to save myself. That's what I'm going to do." When you ask the question, "What should I do to be saved?" Everyone that had the truth of God told every soul to repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue that you don't know, but the Spirit speaks. It's not for you to say anything. It's for the Spirit to give you a sign that this is truth. And talking to my brother yesterday, was telling me about all of these preachers he's doing stuff for. And one man called himself an apostle, and he asked my brother about the church that he was a part of. What body of Christ are you a part of? And of course, my brother knows there is only one church, one body of Christ. Christ doesn't have two or three bodies. The church is the body of Christ. And he told him he was a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gentleman then knew that this church believed in the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and it believed in receiving the Holy Ghost. So he told my brother, "Those things are not necessary." being baptized is not really necessary anymore. And my brother played very ignorant, but he's not. He said, can you give me scripture for that? And of course, the gentleman had no scripture. And when he told my brother that tongues are not necessary anymore, my brother asked him for scripture. And he said, you all believe what happened on the day of Pentecost. And of course we do. But we also believe what happened at Cornelius' house when the Gentiles got it by Peter. And in both of those instances, we had water and spirit. So when someone comes and tell you that it is not necessary, they are God's adversaries. And if someone's going to tell you that it is not by the means to be saved anymore, they don't have another plan of salvation other than do what you want to do. That means join their mega church and just give your offering, say your hallelujahs, and go home the same. But the church requires you to do something. And once you make up in your heart and mind to do something, the church activates itself on your body. It makes you to understand this is the way of salvation, and it makes a change in you. It makes you believe everything that is written in the Word of God. And for some reason these days, I guess with all of the things that are happening with athletes and people on that idiot box, the young people are thinking it is all right to get these tattoos and sleeves all up and down their frame, cutting and marking their bodies. And, you know, when their best friend passed along or is killed in the street, they put something on their body for that individual. But today I just wanted to make it clear, if you're listening to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have writings in the Word of God against it. And a lot of people are saying, Bishop Patterson, we never read where getting a tattoo is against God. And you have people who say they're Jehovah's Witnesses and they're Christians and they're this and they're that. And they're tattooed from the base of their neck to their ankles. And they think this is all right. It is not. It is against God because he said, I am the Lord, don't do it. So if you did not know that it was written, and you don't want to know that it's written, and you want to remain ignorant, now is the time to turn the knob to something else. Because I'm about to enlighten you that once you hear it, you're going to be held responsible for it. So you won't be able to tell God, I didn't hear it. So if you want to remain ignorant and you don't want to know the truth of it, now is the time, as the newscasters say, we get ready to show you something that might not be pleasing to your eyes or to your ears. So I would change if I was you. But if you continue to listen, I'm going to enlighten you that God said, I am the Lord, don't do this. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 28th verse, it says, ye shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor print any mark upon you. I am the Lord. That mark that you mark yourself with, the Lord said, don't do this. And the thing that makes this pleasing is you see it on your athletes and the people that young folk look up to, and they want to be just like them. Well, all of them have gone contrary to the will of God, and they have a mouth full of God, thanking God for this and all of the things that God had given them. And they go on all these shows talking about what God has done. And the Lord said, don't do this. Many of you remember when there was a man in the scriptures, and he was full of devils, and he was in the mountains marking himself with stones. In the 5th chapter of Mark, beginning at the 5th verse, you will see this ritual that this man was doing because he was full of the devil. But this is something that the church has never
said that it was of God to do, because we have the word of God saying, don't do this. And people are of the opinion, I'll just go ahead and get it and ask the Lord to forgive me. That is not a contrite heart. That is not a heart that is sorry for what it's doing or has done. It is blatant in the face of God to know God said don't, and you say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. So I wanted to bring it to your attention that the Lord said, don't mock your body. And people get smart and say, well, I didn't do it. I got somebody to do it for me. Okay, if you can rationalize it in your mind like that, you go ahead. But the thing is, your body is going to be mocked. And if you live long enough, the devil is going to mark it as his. And in Revelation, you hear that there's a mark going in your hand and your forehead. And the beast is going to have you and make you worship it. Because the image of that beast is going to come alive. And it is alive. And it's showing men or Christians or apostolic folk or people who want to live a holy and righteous life. Your eye is going to something to lust after that God said don't do. What then will give you a desire to do something against God that is as open as that? It's beyond me. You know why you're getting it done, that the scriptures is against this, but I am going to do it anyway. You made yourself God over yourself. And if you do, there's a responsibility for all actions. Now, when the scripture says, don't even cut or mark yourself, and you're marking it or cutting it for the dead, you know, when people die, you put something on you for them. That needle is cutting into your flesh to mark your body. And the Lord is saying, don't do it. I am the Lord. It is amazing that when you claim to be of God, in God, believing God, trusting God, these things are not known by you. Because you'll say, well, my preacher has tattoos and his was nice. Might be. But we're discussing the word of God. You tuned in to where Christ is lifted. You have tuned in where the victory is in the word. And I am going to make sure that every breath I give you the victory over anything that is contrary to God. You will not have an excuse. No one listening to this station is going to have an excuse when you meet God. You can tell him anything you want, but you have heard what the truth of the matter is. And the truth is, that God told his people not to mark yourselves and not to put cuttings as that needle does into that skin for dead folks, and don't do this. But it makes the gospel that goes out, it's not going to have a none effect on them that don't believe. Let me make something clear to you. Your unbelief is not going to make the word of God have no effect. But when it has an effect, the effect that the gospel have on non-believers, it damns souls. The gospel automatically damns souls that don't believe. That's the effect that is going to have on non-believers. The effect that the gospel have on believers is that it delivers them from all things. So your unbelief is not going to make the gospel or the word of the Lord have no effect on you. It will affect you. So when you are blatant in disregard for the word, your unbelief is not going to make it have no effect on you. If you are not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you don't believe that you have to, that's not going to cause the word not to have an effect on you. Because when the word requires and says, have you been baptized, since you say you believe, your belief will cause you to do it. So don't think that the word is not going to have an effect. It's having an effect now because you've got to answer what I'm asking you. What are you going to do to be saved? And they have requirements. The entrance into this kingdom we call of God is by the water and the spirit, and then contending steadfastly to have faith. It requires that you believe, because the gospel will not profit you if you don't mix what I give you with faith to believe it. And people say that this is a mind game, but okay, let's call it a mind game. Is it a mind game when you believe that you're going to win the lottery and you play the lottery? Is that a mind game? That your faith is in, you're going to pick the 5, 6, or 9 numbers, or whatever numbers it is going to come out of a ball. Is that a mind game? Because you're believing that, but you condemn believing and doing something good? Look at the majority of people that win the lottery. They're probably poor today and they won yesterday. They get friends that they never had come and say, man, you remember I was in your third grade class. But here the word of the Lord is coming. And your faith could be in doing something good. But the enemy put something in front of you and make you lust after something with your eyes and make you go contrary to God. This is what the scripture says. It's the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. The flesh want to be decorated. The scripture says, there are 6 things God hate, yea, 7. One of them is a proud look. If you think something makes you look good, those thoughts have something in the word that is against it. So don't think that the word of the Lord will not have an effect on what you think. It will. So when you think, well, it's covered up and nobody sees it, you don't think God see it? He see it because he got your mind. Your mind knows it's there. Your heart knows it's there. He can see it from there. So when you see that this scripture is now written and you say, well, Bishop Patterson, I did not know that it was written. You know now, and don't think that the word of the Lord will not have an effect on what you believe. In my last speaking with you, I was talking to a gentleman that says he listens to my broadcast. And in our conversation, he made me to understand that God speaks to him and gives him things that are not written. And I've been thinking about it for and looking at his speech. And I wondered what God was this that talked to him. And on yesterday, I heard a woman say, the mind is the devil's playground. But she meant it in terms of people who are following after God And I said, that's not possible. It is not possible for the mind of Christ, which we have, is the devil's playground. But if you are not a believer in the word of God that says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, this thing get established. When Christ established the truth and men heard about it, he said, all these things I said must be fulfilled. There is nothing new under the sun that men have been given. So when someone comes up with a revelation that's a revealing that they say come from God. And let's take his example. He said the blood is the word of God. Now, you heard me right. This revelation he got says the blood is the word of God. There is no scripture that says that is the fact, because blood is not a spirit. If it was, there would have been no need for God Almighty to put on flesh and blood to get it. If blood was in heaven being a spirit, that means God possesses it. He did not need a woman to get it, to shed it. All of the sacrifices of the Jewish altar would not need an animal to do it. It could have been done by the spirit if blood was a spirit. In the garden, the Lord told them what the seed of the woman would do. Not the seed of the spirit. The seed of the woman would give God flesh and blood, because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do it in spirit and in truth, not in flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is the housing for the spirit. And if you have heard that my voice has changed, it has, because somebody believes this person and follow them and believe it with no scripture to say God said the blood is spirit. The blood agrees with the spirit in the earth. It agrees with natural things like water. But when heaven told you what was in the spirit, flesh wasn't there. Neither was blood there. Those things agree in the earth with God. That we use these tabernacles to worship God with the spirit that God has given us. When a child is in a womb, it has blood, but it doesn't have a spirit until it is born and it takes its first breath. Then it has become a living soul. What would have been the need for God Almighty to put on flesh and blood if blood was a spirit and he's a spirit? He didn't need a body to put on a cross to shed it. His spirit could have just dripped it. But everybody knows it is a natural thing to have blood, because that body that came out of the earth did not have it anymore. That body was a spirit, and it did not consist of blood. It consisted of flesh and bone. God kept the image and wrapped it in a celestial flesh. And this is how the prophet Job can look back and look forward and say, in my flesh, I shall see God. This is how Ezekiel can look down the telescope of time and see the saints coming out of the graves, standing as an army, that image, those bones that's going to live again, that God will redress it with more signia, muscle and flesh, but it's going to be a celestial one, and then he will breathe into them one more time, and we go as an army to be with God. But there will be no blood. Where it came from, I must confess that it came from the pit of hell. For someone to believe something contrary to the word of God. So the gospel that I preached, and if he's listening, the gospel I preach is going to have an effect on him. It's going to affect where he spends eternity. Every soul is going to get a body that shall either live forever with God or outside of God. And it won't have any blood. But God shall give it a body that pleases him, whether it's an eternal flame that it will, that worm will never die, as the scripture says. Or it will get an eternal celestial body like God put on, absent of blood, new flesh. This is how Paul preached in Corinthians about there is a celestial and then there is a terrestrial. And when the scripture said, how be it that which is natural came first, that's talking about flesh and blood. God made it first and then he made it a living soul. When he breathed in it, that spirit came. God then took on a natural body so that he could get blood to the cross, because without the shedding of blood, shedding means it's in something and it has to come out of something. There is no remission. And if God already had it, how was he going to shed it if he is a spirit? The body without the spirit is dead alone. But how can someone give God the credit for stupidity? I don't know, because some people are too ignorant to live. It is no salvation in nothing but the blood that Jesus shed. Man's blood don't mean a thing other than it gives him life. The life is in the blood. It is how this natural life or natural body has life. The spirit then activates it and makes that heart just beat. It doesn't need to be plugged up to a machine, to make your heart beat, unless you're in the hospital. But I mean, walking around, the heart has its own rhythm from God. When you got the breath, it woke up and began to maintain everything when you were disconnected from your mother. God gave you your rhythm. But when that heart stops and that blood goes cold, life is gone. The breath stops. All of it. The breath stops it all. But somebody believes he's telling the truth about it. So he passed that lie on to someone else to believe. And this is my speech to the church, that I am responsible for the gospel while I live. And if the gospel doesn't profit anybody, then everybody loses, including me. Because I have this commandment from God to turn them from darkness, from the power of Satan to God. And that is the job. Can you imagine a person who has a position of authority and don't do anything. Don't do what is in their itemized things that they're supposed to do. This is your job description, and you don't do anything in that description. You won't have that job long. But when the gospel is lost, he said it is lost to them, are hidden rather, it is hidden from them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. That's why I'm saying, if your mind is the devil's playground, you don't belong to God. You're about to come up with any so-called revelation that you can think of. And believing that blood is God's word, your mind is the devil's playground. He's having a ball flipping around in there. He's doing gymnastics and everything else. But my thing is, why do somebody believe you? If the gospel then that I preach is hid from you, I can't help you because God has blinded all of it from you. He let the enemy take your mind and blind it. So God is doing a work. So if I give you what the scripture says and you say, I don't want to do that, my job was to give it to you. Your job is to believe it. You must mix what I preach with faith. My job is not to do the mixing, to bake the cake. Your job is to bake the cake. I'm to give you the ingredients. So once you make a decision to take what I give you and do something else with it that is contrary to the instructions on how to do it, that's up to you. There was an opportunity I had to make waffles with Bishop S. McDowell Shelton years ago. And we were looking at the ingredients and we were following Auntie Mama's box. The box told us how to do it. And we were putting how many cups of flour and the milk, the eggs. And he got, creative. He said, oh, let's not pay her any attention. Let's just do this. And we start doing other things in the mixing bowl. And when we put that concoction on top of that hot waffle iron and close that thing, it was just bubbling over. And we made a mess. It didn't come out right. So he came to the conclusion that Aunt Jemima knew what to do to make her waffles, her pancakes. Because when we went outside of the instructions, we made a mess. So somebody did have to clean up this mess. It was me, but hey. But it teaches. He was teaching me. Follow the instructions. He had me by my soul to show me things. He tried me at things. And when I would say, I don't partake of this, I don't do this. He had some wine and he said, drink. And I said, well, sir, I don't drink that. And he lived on the 24th floor of a building. And he had them hang me over the out of the kitchen window. Because I said, I don't do that. And no matter what he did to try me, I would not drink it. So when he went out, I took it and I poured it down the sink and he came back. It was an empty glass. He said, I know you didn't drink it. I said, I didn't. He said, good. But he tried me at that. And he was showing me, if you don't follow the instructions, you're going to have a mess. So I believe God had me in his bosom and taught me many things that I do now. I credit it to how he gave different things to me and said different things to me when he had charge over my soul. The word of the Lord is not going to change. I don't care how much people talk about, oh, I love you. Love is an obedience to the word. If you love me, he said, you'll keep the commandments. But this whole thing of people using their mind as the devil's playground, my job is to turn you from that. So if you think marking your frame and doing all of that is okay, I'm going to give you the ingredients of how to save yourself from this lustful thing that you are looking at on the televisions, those crazy machines and the YouTubes and the this and the that. And these men are all tattooed. Some people now got their whole face. Some people going in and splitting and cutting their tongue and making it a split. Can you imagine? But if you did not know that it was written not to get tattoos, then you read Leviticus 19 and 28 for yourself. And don't give me that's in the old book. It carried. There's nothing in the new book that stops that. Because when you get to Mark 5 and 5 and you see this man up in there in the mountains cutting himself with stones, this was something that was contrary. And we found out the reason he was doing it is he was full of the devil. But God fixed it and took him out of that situation, clothed him, put him in his right mind, stopped making his mind the devil's playground. God then let the gospel that he gave him change his life. You're going to have to do the same. So when someone tells you that God gave them something that is not written, how do you prove a negative? You can prove a positive with something else. Because at the mouth of two or three witnesses, you can establish what the truth is. Because even when those two women came to that young King Solomon, and he had one witness that child that she has is mine. That was one witness. He needed another one. Before he could know whose child that really was, he needed another witness. And he made the woman who was lying his second witness. When he said, bring me a sword and I am going to destroy the child. The mother who it was cried out, don't do that. But the one that said, do it. She was a witness against herself. So he at the mouth of two or three witnesses, he knew that the woman that said, don't do it, give it to her, was a real mother. There is always a way in the word of God to get the witness out what is true. So when someone tells you blood is the word, don't believe them. Because the scripture says, word is spirit. And it's like the wind. You don't know where it listed. It goes wherever it goes. You can see blood. You can't see the wind or a spirit. Blood is a natural thing. It can be felt, touched, seen. God, a spirit, has to manifest itself in flesh for you to see it. He has to open up your heart and mind so you can hear it. That's why he sends a preacher to preach the spirit of his word and make that spirit then known to them in their heart and mind by the manifestation of it. I just could not understand. And when you talk to people, see, I'm not a debater. I'm not a hater or whatever you want to say. I am not going to get involved. If you're going to make your point, let me make mine. But mine is going to be based on what the word says. If the word is silent, I'm silent. If the word speaks, I'm going to speak on it. But don't bring me something. I'm going to debate you on what? You don't have to debate me on the word. The word says what it says. It means what it means. There is nowhere written that has the blood is a spirit. So what's the debate about? What's the screaming and yelling about? All I ask him to do is give me Bible. Give me where the scripture says. The scripture says something. If it says it, and when he made a statement that was a lie and I asked him to correct it, he wouldn't even correct a misspeaking to say, oh yes, Bishop Patterson, you know, you're right. That was wrong for me to say. But I'm not going to debate. This is without debating. There is no condemnation for them that are in Christ. If you are in Christ, who can condemn you? If you're not in Christ, then you can be condemned. But I am in Christ. And this knowledge of where I am and I have my living and my being in him, I have the joy of knowing that God is in control of my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit, everything that I have. He's in control. So why would I want to be contrary when his mind, when his word speaks to my mind? Why would I want to go contrary to it and believe something different than what it said? Debate you? Why would I debate someone that has Satan in their mind as a playground, flopping around? I ain't got time for that. What the lady say? I ain't got time for that. But the thing is, what I'm trying to get across is you tune in to this radio station for truth. You're trying to find where is God in victory on the right hand and the left hand. And victory is not always something good. Folks think it's got to be good. If I ask God, it's got to be good. Really? What God you serving? You thought it was good that John the Baptist's head was taken off and God could have prevented it? He's God. It was the will of God. And you thought he was going to stop the request for his head to be given on a charger when God knew the martyrs had started with him? You thought that Stephen praying and asking God to receive him could not have saved him from those stones? Better yet, you don't think God Almighty, he told him I could bring legions of angels to pull me down off this cross. But he stayed there. He had the power to come down. He had power for help. But he had a will in the answer, no. And when I look at where he has brought me from these 20 something years, that I would not bow down to Kenneth Shelton and all of his foolishness, but I held the standard that God gave me, made me the standard bearer for. Somehow, the false doctrine got on everybody who did not believe, but the word, the gospel, is going to have an effect on even unbelievers. And that's why the scripture said, your unbelief is not going to make the word of God have no effect. It is. If you're not obeying God, it's going to affect you. Hell is ready for you. And then hell get cast into the flame, and the flames are ready. They're already in God's mind lit. And I like how the scripture says, the appetite of man is never satisfied, and hell is going to receive everything that comes to it. It's never full. Folks are dying daily and they find a place to bury them. Grave, the grave is hell. But he said hell is going to get cast into the lake of fire. This grave that have all of these dead souls are going into the lake of fire. Now, why would you want to be dead? Come on now. It's time to save yourself. It is time to realize if you don't know something is written, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal salvation. Because you think it's all right to get tattoos. But when you search the scripture and you say the scripture says, don't do it, I am the Lord. Now you know not to do it. So, but that's not going to make the tattoo artist close down his shop. That's not going to make the beautician parlor close down all of her pride work to get you ready for Sunday's broadcast on the television. Your hair's got to be stiff as a bull. That's not going to stop them. It should stop you. It should prevent you. You tuned in for truth. You want the victory in the word. Here it is. But victory might be death for you. It was death for John. He had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But he ended up without his head. Stephen was out just preaching the gospel. And folks got mad. And it seemed like God would protect his man as carrying his word. But he gave him a vision. And when he gave up the ghost, God received it. But he wasn't praying, Lord, preserve my body. Don't let him kill me. Lord, don't let him kill me. He received, this is it. Let my spirit go back to you. God answered that request. But there are many times in the scriptures that the men of God were in jail, beaten, shipwrecked. So these diverse things come upon us to make us strong. Because it makes me say I cannot give up. Giving up is not an option. So I asked God for something and it didn't come. Why? Because he didn't give it to me. But I thank him. And I praise him and I give him the glory still, because unbelief cannot sit in. It's because of unbelief that we lost a lot of souls in the wilderness. I jokingly tell myself, no wonder so much oil is over there. But when you look at the truth of God, you want truth. You want to know, how do I preserve my soul? How do I save it from this wicked generation? And I tell you, repent. Let your heart be sorrowful for the things that you've done. Don't think it's all right to do. It is not. Let your mind be like the mind of Christ. The devils cannot have the mind of believers. He's trying to get your eye off of God. But if you're watching God, you don't see him. His devices are known to you because God is in you. And you stay clear of it. The church don't blame the devil for anything. The word of the Lord tells us don't even have a conversation with him. Don't discuss anything with the devil. What you talking to the devil for? God did, and what did he say? He didn't have a conversation. Oh yeah, man, you know you're right. He said, it is written. He quoted the word. But the devil knows the word. But look what God did. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now the mouth of God said, don't tattoo. Are you going to live by it or not? It's up to you. But when you have all of these things and people talking about the devil this and the devil that, I would be leery of that. I want somebody talking about Christ. You cannot bring an accusation against the devil. Read Jude. Read all of it. And when you see this conversation is not about the devil or the serpent or the enemy, it's about Christ. And if your mind is on him, he said, I'll keep you in perfect peace. If you're looking at him, Job wasn't talking about the devil, the devil, the devil. Job kept his eye on God. The Lord dealt with him, but Job kept his eye on God. What are you looking at the devil for? Why is your mouth full of what the devil did? Are you a disciple of the devil that you know the devil doings and you don't know God's doings? Everybody knows what the devil is doing. The devil did this. The devil did that. What did God do? What did God do? Put your eye on what God does. Even if it's evil and it's God's doing, say it's marvelous in my eyes. Because if you're looking at God, it'll work out for your good, whether it be good or evil. This is the thinking that I'm trying to tell the church. It's no binary thinking with God. It's one way. Because whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. It all works out for good, the oneness of God. So if your mind and your eye is on God, You're going to see the goodness of God even in terrible times, even when the answer is no, even when temptations are coming. He said, I'm coming to make you strong if your eye is on God. So if you want to be blessed of God, then turn to him, look at him, search his word, find the peace and the tranquility that's in the word of God. And when you read Jude and he tells you no accusation against the devil, then don't talk to him. People tell me, oh, I'm going to take my oil and I'm going to bless my house. I'm going to bless the doorknobs. And the doorknob don't have a spirit. That devil will walk, turn that doorknob, all that oil on it. He'll turn it and say, you should have used this to fry some chicken. Oil is used for two things, fasting and is used for prayer over the sick. It's not used to throw over your house to get demons out. Demons don't run at that. They run at the Spirit of God. Say, get thee behind me. It runs at when you got your mind on God, God intervenes and does the work for you and make your eyes behold his wonder. Come on now. It's time to worship the one true God. It is time to be a believer in what is written in the word of God. So if you did not know that Leviticus had you stopped as a child of the living God from marking your body or cutting it, then now you know, because it's an addiction. Once you get started, you just continue, because it's a lust that you're going after, and the lust of the flesh is going to destroy you. Let God be the one that put a new name in your forehead. Don't let the devil put one, because he's going to mark foreheads and he's going to mark hands where you won't be able to buy or sell. That moment is coming. But I implore you, I ask you to read it for yourself, because you tuned in for truth. You tuned in for victory in your life. And when victory comes, it doesn't always come good. If you're a wrestler or a boxer and you're trying to get the victory by the 10th or 12th round or whatever it is, you might come out bloody, but you might win. It might have to be a decision of the judges, but you fought a fight to get the victory. And this victory warfare we're fighting for faith is the same. We're not going to get out of this world unscathed. Jesus had his marks that he was crucified. He got a glorified body. He still had those marks. But once you have touched God, he said, I will never leave you. Once you have touched him or know who he is, he said, I have virtue in me. Grab it. And if he tells you, you have my heart, you have my soul, you have my desires, you have my mind, you have all of me, and the heavens have opened to you, let's walk in that, because God has you, and the temptations and the trials of life is coming to make us strong. So let's be strong. I'm glad for this opportunity again to give you the truth. So now you deal with it. And I ask you, if you tuned in for truth, tune in next Sunday from 10 to 11 on the Victory Station, AM 1360 and FM 94.7, where Christ gets lifted. This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Tune in again next Sunday, 10 to 11, for the Whole Truth Gospel Hour. Thank you.